When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hurts. Pulling for the football. Stamping the right foot. He's back. He's looking. He is firing. And it is caught for a touchdown! A.J. Brown!
Well, just an incredible performance, really, by all last night. I don't know who had a bad game. To my eye, it looked like every Eagle played great. And obviously, Saquon was the greatest of them all. All right, let's talk more Eagles football for the next hour with Seth Joyner. He joins us in studio every Monday at this time. Seth brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or a tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. Mr. Joyner, how are you, pal?
All good.
Let's get his microphone on. Mr. Joyner, how are you, sir?
Come on, James, wake up, man.
My bad. That's nonsense, man.
Seth, how about this guy, Saquon, man? All right, so Seth, let's start with this. I was trying to figure it out before the show. So you played against Barry Sanders. You played against Emmett. You played against Bo Jackson. You definitely played against Thurman Thomas. I think you played with Terrell Davis. You may have played against Walter Payton early in your career. I'm not sure that week two of your rookie year or whatever.
I missed that game.
Okay. Yeah. So can you put into words this Saquon thing? I mean, and frame it with, like, these heavyweights that you either played against or have seen through the years? Because this is nuts.
Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
Would have called Earl Campbell the strike year. He was the second game of the year that year. That was his final year. That's wild. Because that was like my dude growing up. He's the reason I fell in love with football.
So his thighs were just the biggest ever, Earl Campbell's. Yeah. But then Saquon's got some large tree trunk style legs too.
Saquon's a different animal. I think we're starting to see that. And when you give him the required elements to be great, that he can certainly be great. And all the talk about, you know, what the Eagles can do and what they can't do, what they are doing is going old school on you. They are pounding teams into submission slowly but surely. There are times when they run the ball in the middle in the first quarter, it's like, what the hell are you doing? But what they're doing is they're wearing teams down. I mean, 45 carries last night, 45 runs, of which he had 30 on his own.
Yeah.
That's old school football. And I'm reminded of, you know, when we used to play against the K-gun, the red gun, the run and shoot. You know, Buddy used to always call them a finesse football team. And when you're playing against a finesse football team, you have to hit them in the mouth. You have to beat them up. And, you know, when I look at this Rams team, that's what they are. You know, with all the window dressing, you know, all the motion all over the place and all the guys crossing, they're just trying to create confusion. So you just beat them into submission. You know, and that happened on both sides of the football.
It really did. Yeah. I mean, Seth, the defense last night.
I do have a worry, though. One worry.
Yep.
Emerging from all the good, if Slay is down, Isaiah Rodgers, I do think he was sort of falsely accused last night.
As a bogus penalty.
Potentially.
As a joke.
Felt a little unfair, but it does feel like there's a serious drop-off at times.
No. No, it ain't.
No?
No, it ain't.
We're okay?
To be honest with you, I actually prefer it that the other way around.
Isaiah Rodgers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of Slay, because he'll actually stick his face in there?
Yeah. He'll stick his face in there, and he'll challenge you. I would say, you know, he was a little gun-shy after that ghost of a call, the PI that gave them the ball at the one, and then all of a sudden, boom, they score, and –
That makes me think that he's worse. You know, like when he gets that call against him, I think it's, I don't know, is it human nature? I just think bad play, Isaiah Rodgers.
It was a bad call. It was just a bad call
but
by the ref.
It was a bad call.
It was total nonsense.
It was a horrendous call.
It was horrible. Both of them were horrible calls.
You also have to take into consideration, you know, this guy didn't play any football at all last year. You know, so and then you throw him in there cold, and I get it. Next man up, that's his job to be ready. But I think the upside is much greater. You know, as great a player as Darius Slay has been, I just don't notice there anymore. He looks timid sometimes, non-aggressive. Listen, let me tell you something. When you have two rookies on the field and your primary offensive passing attack is at the two veterans on the other side of the field, that's a damn problem. That's a damn problem. I mean, and they were looking until Slay got hurt to the point where they took him out of the game. Wherever he was aligned, they were attacking him. That was the game plan. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched that or noticed that in the game last night, but that was the game plan. I don't care whether it was Puka, whether it was Cooper, or whoever it was. But the young guys, I mean, after a while, they weren't even throwing the ball in their direction. It's like, all right, no matter where number 20 is, oh, he's out. No matter where number two, no matter where number 34 is, we're trying to attack that matchup.
So, Seth, let's talk about Jalen Carter for a moment, because as much as Stafford wanted to do things last night, he was inhibited by his line, which is getting run over. And Jalen Carter was the main disruptor. How good or great is he at this stage?
Listen, he's come a long way, because a lot of the double teams that he would have to take on last year, he'd kind of get stuck. You know, the problem is, you know, when you're being double team, is you can't fight two guys. You got to destroy one and let the other guy fall off. Because if in the run game, even though they double you, at some point in time, one of those guys are responsible to come up and get next level on the linebacker. In the passing game, you certainly have to destroy one. Because you can't, you're not going to fight off 600 pounds at 300 pounds yourself. So what he's been able to do is figure out, okay, in the run game, if my gap is to the left and I'm being, you know, double teamed, well, I'm going to destroy the guy on the left because that allows me to wind up in my gap. You know, against the pass, it's communication, because you see a lot of, I would venture to say, I don't know how many sacks the Eagles have, but I would venture to say that at least on half of those, he is the chaotic, disruptive force that allows someone else to get the sack.
And that's why I think, Seth, that as much as we're bummed about the Brandon Graham thing, and truly bummed, you know, and they are light out there on the edge, what Jalen Carter's doing inside helps the whole thing.
It does.
Because you see sacks that happen because he creates it, but someone else cleans it up.
It does, but BG is going to be a huge miss. I don't know if you guys were watching last night, but his first sack came from the defensive tackle position. You know, he was down in a three technique, and I've been saying forever, he's had
so much production from inside. I think the sack of Tom Brady, the strip
inside,
sack, was from the D tackle spot.
A lot of what winds up happening is a guy can be good on the outside, and as he begins to slow down, if he has the size and the strength, you can now move him inside because his speed and his quickness and his ability to make moves on the inside, guards aren't equipped to handle that. Tackles are much more equipped to handle that stuff on the outside. But when you put a guy like Brandon down on the inside and he's got a two-way go because of communication with the other D-tackle, he can be dominant. And to be honest with you, I don't think he's done. I don't think he's done. A lot of people think that get the sense that, you know, that he's done and he's going to walk away after this year. I think the Eagles would be smart to offer him a contract to bring him back because his leadership is unparalleled, and he was playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
You know, I referred to him last week in my TV show as Benjamin Button, the way he's playing. It's amazing.
Yeah. It really was. Yeah. All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth with us for the entire hour, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Ken and Cinna Manson. What's going on, Ken?
Good morning, friends. How are you today? What a beautiful morning.
Yeah, it really is, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth, to your point, I just want to note that the first play that Slay was off the field in the first quarter when him and Blankenship collided, it was Isaiah Rodgers that caused that fumble. So, you know, there is something to be said for corners who are actually willing to tackle.
Yes.
Listen, This is a really, really, really good football team. And, you know, the Lions, just for a brief second, if you look at their schedule has been set up since the beginning of the year for them to succeed. They've got their toughest. They don't have to go outside in the cold anymore the rest of the year. So my concern is that one drop pass is going to be the difference between the one seed and the two seed. But I'm not going to dwell on that right now. I thought Jalen Hurts played his best game of the year last night.
He was great, Ken. He was fantastic last night.
Yeah, the numbers don't bear it out, but his eye level never came down. He was great.
Seth thought he got me. I kind of got him back a little bit. No, Seth, he was great. I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
And his eye level never came down. He was in charge of that game the entire game. That was great. And the other thing, like, we saw Saquon playing for the Giants for all those years, so we always knew Saquon was you know, really good. The thing that kind of I don't think I've ever seen is, you know, you have a lot of these fast guys that accelerate really well. I've never seen a guy that re-accelerates like Saquon Barkley.
There's
does.
No I deceleration mean, almost. It's so much more fluid in every direction.
Also, how quick he gets momentum. It's unbelievable how fast he is going fast. You know
well,
what I'm saying?
I'll agree with that. I'll add another one. How fast he moves to power from speed. I mean, normally when a guy cuts, you're supposed to lose some power in the next, you know, quarter second. He seemingly doesn't.
That first 70-yard touchdown run, they showed the replay from the end zone angle, him coming down the sideline. And you can see how much bigger he is than the guys that are chasing him and running away from him.
Yes.
And all I think to myself is, it shouldn't be allowed to be that big in that.
Well, I'll tell you, it defies physics. I'll give you something starting to come into focus for me. Ken, good call, man. Appreciate it. So I remember when Saquon came out in that draft, I believe it was 2018, Gil Brandt, who, John, you and I knew a little bit, and of course, ran the Dallas Cowboys for many years, went on record as saying that he thought Saquon, and Gil Brandt was like 85 at the time or something. He has since passed away. He thought Saquon was the greatest running back prospect he'd ever seen.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Now, you're talking about a guy that Gil Brandt saw it all for 50 years.
And he was the draft guy.
That was part of how the Dallas Cowboys were built. They drafted well, and they created that whole chart and the whole deal and blah, blah, blah. And he said he thought
greatest
that he was
running back prospect he's ever seen.
Yes.
Gil Brandt.
That's what he said.
Who has seen every running back prospect for the last, I don't know,
50 years.
Yeah, 60, at least 50
years.
Yeah. So, Seth, how does Saquon compare to Bo Jackson? I think you faced him in 89 or 88. So that'd be kind of prime Bo. How does he compare?
The similarities are striking. You know, especially, you know, body size and ability to accelerate. I think that Saquon is more nimble. Bo was more of a one cut and go kind of guy. Like, he wasn't making anybody miss.
Yeah.
He was either going to outrun you or he was going to run you over.
Well,
Saquon is like the total
package. There's
more
control associated with it.
I was thinking about, because, you know, the MVP conversation, you know, Adrian Peterson, I think it was 2012, won the MVP. And I was looking at his numbers last night and making the comparison, and Saquon's on pace to outdo those numbers in rushing yards, passing, receiving yards, and touchdowns on both sides as well. You know, Adrian Peterson was a beast, but I don't think Adrian Peterson had the element of illusion either. He was either going to run you over, or, you know, if he got in the open field, he was going to run away from you when he was in his prime, and there was nobody to go get him.
And I don't think he was as good a receiver. I know that his numbers, the volume on the receptions for Adrian Peterson was up there.
Yeah.
But he wasn't as natural a catcher of the football as Saquon is. Saquon is
so. Let me tell you. I'll tell you this. Last night I started thinking, why stop at MVP? He could be Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. I'm not kidding. If they win the technically Super Bowl doesn't count, but if he breaks the record,
absolutely.
Now, who would it be as of right now, James? Caitlin Clark, maybe? With the WNBA influence.
That's a good number.
And remember, she's had two things this year. She had the March Madness.
I mean, Shohei.
College basketball. And Shohei.
Yeah, as a possibility.
Shohei. But I'm just saying, I mean, if he breaks the record.
Shohei would be listen,
if he breaks the record and the Eagles
en route win the Super Bowl.
But hold on, it doesn't count because they name it December 31st-ish. Yeah. Like, wow. It's a shame.
It is a shame because if the Eagles win the Super Bowl and he wins the Super Bowl MVP and the MVP.
Right.
It's
a wrap.
It's a no-brainer.
It's unbelievable. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red tag bonus cash on every new Armin Chevrolet Equinox and soon. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, John, how do you think people voted today on this question? Which is the best team in the NFL? Is it the A, Eagles, B, Bills, C, Lions, D, Chiefs? Eagles, Bills, Lions, Chiefs.
Mm.
How do you think this thing got...
I think the fact that we threw the AFC teams in there is really going to... Maybe not. You know what? The excitement of last night being so immediate, I think we're still going to sit at a passing 70.
So the Eagles are in first place, but it's tight with one team. Which team do you think people voted it tight with?
Oh, the Lions.
Correct.
The Lions.
46% Eagles, 42% Lions. So NFC got 90% of the vote. 88%. My fault. Bad math on me. 8% for the Chiefs, 4% for the Bills.
Wow.
So
okay, well.
You know, there's a collision course that's coming here.
Big time, man.
Totally.
Big time.
It's a major collision course, and I think that the next 2 weeks are going to be the telltale sign for, you know, what the major collision course winds up being. The next two games will be the two most physical football games that the Eagles will have to play back-to-back with the Ravens and then the Steelers.
They have the Panthers in between. It's Ravens, Panthers, Steelers.
It doesn't matter.
Well said.
All right, let's talk
That's a bye week, James.
That's so true. Let's talk. That's a rack.
That's perfect.
That's a Saquon rack up 170 and get
out. They just took the Chiefs to 30-27.
Yeah, but that's indicative and an indictment on the Chiefs,
it is.
In my opinion.
It is.
Yeah,
right. Let's talk to Vince. He's calling from Naples. Vince, good morning.
Hey, I'm on my way to Naples, but that's okay.
Good man. Naples, Italy, or Naples, Florida?
No, Naples, Florida.
Okay.
Either one's great.
That's true.
First, warmer there than it is here.
First, a shout out. So, Seth, much respect for you and what you've done for our team. My Eagles that I've loved, that I've been going to these games for over 50 years, and really, really love you. And other
Thank
one
you,
is
Vince.
You, Ray, who I think your insight is awesome and excellent, and you really are an expert. You're the MVP of that morning show. But what I want to say here is that you're welcome, man. I mean it. I have been watching this team for a long time. I've never seen anybody like Saquon Barkley. Yeah. The other day I was watching the Army game because I have some family and a big respect to the servicemen and the veterans, and was rooting for Army, and they have the number one rushing yards in the country, and they were stopped because that's all they had. And
probably haven't had that since Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside. Can you name them, Seth?
No.
44 and 45 was Glenn Davis. Who's the other guy, Seltzer? Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside for Army. 44 and 45. Honestly, what I'm trying to do right now is deflect from Vince, who's making good points, but he's got such talking in the background. I'm just trying
to... Well, he's at the airport.
I'm trying to give the person... Yeah. Just shut up back there! All right, Vince, let's find out if the woman talking behind you is still talking. Hello.
So,
yeah, she stopped.
I'm still here.
No, yeah, anyway, but she's not.
You shamed her.
Yeah, so what the point I'm trying to make is that you could have a possibly potential, and not even potential, the best running back in the league. And behind him, almost in the shadows now, is Jalen, who has upped his game. I mean,
he really has. Yeah.
He's not even a scrambling quarterback like my favorite Cunningham. He is a running quarterback. And he's a runner, and he's also a passer. And now he's going to the next level. He's throwing the ball away when he needs to. It's beautiful. And he is not turning the ball over. And if he doesn't turn the ball over and he continues to run and we got the number one running back, I don't know who's going to stop this team.
Well, Vince, look, I think you say a lot really good there and great call. You know, Seth, you made the point a couple weeks back, maybe as far back as 5 to 7 weeks ago, that you wanted to see them dial Jalen back to sort of bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like that's exactly what has happened.
Well, they had to, Joe. I mean, he struggled so much throughout the first four games of the season. You have the luxury of a running back. And this is really amazing to me because I know that the Eagles brass don't like to play football this way. But when you go and you sign a running back like Saquon, this is, you know, this is the linchpin of the offense for the moment. Now, Jalen's going to have his time where he's going to be required to step forward and pass the football. And we've seen him do it in the past.
Yeah.
So all this chatter about the fact that he can't is nonsense. But they had to dial him back in order to allow him to catch up in this offense where he could be efficient. Now, let me give you some numbers, you know, because I wanted to know. Because it's not – the Jalen hate is not just in Philadelphia. It's a national thing. You got clowns all across the board that are like, oh, you know, the Eagles can't win with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, okay? So let me give you some facts. Over the last six games, Jalen is averaging. You can even throw this in here when you hear the numbers of what his numbers were last night, and you can think about what those are. He is averaging throwing the football 21 times a game over the six, over the previous, leading into last night's game. He is completing 16 of those 21. That's 70%. Okay? One interception. 11 yards per completion.
Yeah, that's big.
Okay?
Really big.
So when you really stop and think about it, we got other quarterbacks that are throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game, and you're asking Jalen to only throw it on average 21 times a game, and he's completing 16 of those, okay? People need to understand. Back in the day, this is how great quarterbacks were back in the day, throwing the ball 25 times on average and throwing for 300 yards. But you're asking, he's doing what he's coached to do. He is providing what you've asked him to do. And slowly but surely, you'll ramp him up. Last night, what was it, 18 for 22? He only threw it about 22 times.
He's been really efficient.
Come on, man.
And Seth, he's picking his spots of when to run, and he's getting big first downs, man. Big first downs.
So people need to look at this thing for what it's worth. You know, would you rather have Jalen Hurts throw the ball 50 times and rack up 350 yards passing in order for you to feel good about your quarterback? Or would you rather your quarterback be efficient in the minimal amount of passes that they're asking him to throw per game and putting the game on your franchise running back's legs and your best offensive line? I think it's safe to say we can say that they're the best offensive line in all of pro
and they're
football
killing
now.
Teams. The problem
man,
is killing
them. Mauling them, man. I mean, absolutely
Seth,
mauling
and a
teams.
Player like you that played at what, 255, 250? What were you?
245.
All right, so you were big then. These guys are small now, meaning linebackers. Dude, you got a Dickerson, you got Mulata, you got Becton and Lane Johnson, those four. Forget Juergens, who can very skilled, but those four, when they meet a 220-pound linebacker, it's over. It's over. I mean, they are crushing linebackers
especially,
when they get to that level.
Especially when you don't know when you're trying to, you know. I drew up three plays from last week, John, and I'm telling you, Jeff Stoutland, he's an absolute genius. I drew up three plays, and I'm like, I've never seen these blocking combinations ever in all my days of playing. And I study your film.
Intricacies—that's your thing. I know.
And I'm looking; they're running like a double trap, man. They're running a trap on both sides.
Yeah.
And the running back actually has the option of hitting this trap, this side, or this side. So I'm like drawing it up because I'm like totally amazed. I've never heard anything like that. I'm gonna send you what I drew up. I wish I had the video so I could show it to you. But I'm watching these runs. And I'm looking at him like, as a linebacker, you don't even know where the hell to read.
Right, wow. Because you've got multiple possible entry points. How could you read
it's
that?
Unbelievable.
I love it.
Don't wait till your doctor delivers bad news. Call NJ Diet today and you will lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. And without any shots, in just 40 short days, you will look and feel dramatically better. Plus, you'll be healthier too. More importantly, you should finally be able to get some good news about your blood work. Not only that, but losing weight is linked to helping boost low T, guys. NJ Diet's program starts with personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to help you keep it off. It's all natural. No surgery, no hormones, no gross prepackaged foods, and no shots or nasty side effects. Locations are close by in Newark, Delaware, Princeton, King of Prussia, and Cherry Hill, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call today, 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com to set up your consultation. That's njdiet.com. Lose weight quickly and safely without any shots with njdiet.com.
Brought to you by NJ Diet, Saquon Barkley muscling his way into serious MVP chatter. Some odds have him at third after a monster performance, 302 yards from scrimmage, ran for 255 yards, touchdown runs of 70 and 72 in the Eagles' 37-20 win at the Rams. Defense with five sacks, 9-2 record for the Eagles with the Ravens up next. The Ravens, by the way, play the Chargers in Monday Night Football tonight. Devastating news for Brandon Graham on a night where he recorded a sack to move into third on the Eagles' career list. BG says he tore his triceps and will miss the rest of the season. With NJ Diet, you will lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Best of all, no shots or nasty side effects. Go to njdiet.com today. Weather brought to you by Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Mostly sunny, high 57, currently 46. Visit BorgataSports.com for boosted odds specials, daily promotions, in-game betting, and much more. Must be 21 or older, must be in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Listen to every Eagles game on your streaming device. Just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94WIP.
He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy?
Seth?
Moose. Come on, man.
I'm waiting for Seth to rap. Let's go,
Are
man.
Are you kidding me? Cream.
Seth is giving Seltzer the nod of approval.
Just let that
Seth
go for
gets
a minute.
It.
Well done. Well done.
Cash moves everything around you. Dollar bill.
All right.
That brings back memories, man.
So somebody really escaped today on WIP without being a focal point. James Seltzer, who is it? And which team is it?
Oh, I mean, come on. I mean, how about how's he going to get greeted on Friday night when he is introduced? Because he's definitely going to play in the game at home, right?
Was anybody surprised that
just
he didn't
avoid.
Play? I wasn't.
Avoid
Not
all
surprised,
the fiasco.
But, I wasn't shocked. A little surprised.
Back to back.
Because he was supposed to play and then
back to back.
I was a little surprised.
A tiny bit.
It's I think
it's surprising how far from what we want this is. It's surprising that Joel seems to think like it's going to be manageable at
well,
this point.
Well, there's the other
you
possibility.
Just took two more games
he,
off.
He may
man.
Just not be able to answer the bell. I think he wants to play. I think
listen,
he.
You better. You,
if I don't know that he wants to play.
No, Joe, I don't feel that way.
I think he does. I think he wants to play.
If he wants to play, he would have played.
No, John, I think he has a real injury, man. Yeah. I think he's got a real injury.
Yeah, soft feelings. That's his injury.
No, here's what I think happened. That knee last year, maybe they should have done the different surgery. They keep chipping away at the meniscus, and it might be one of those things where he just doesn't have the whatever it would be.
Listen, he's carrying too much body weight for that knee.
That was not scientific.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
To ever be in a situation where he can play a lot of basketball. The biggest mistake he made was going to play in the Olympics instead of rehabbing and getting the knee where it needs to be.
Yep.
And this is going to be...
But I don't know that made a difference either, Seth.
No, sure it did.
Well,
how did it not?
60 days of basketball, Joe? No, but you don't think it made a difference instead of rehab opposed to 60 days
well,
of rehab?
Well, hopefully he was rehabbing. That's the problem. If he chose not to rehab, that's the problem.
No, you have to rest and rehab. Wow. You know, you just got done with an 82-game schedule, and now you jump right into Olympic basketball, you got a 60-day window, and you know there's no rehab while you're playing. You're just trying to maintain in season. That's all. Yeah. That's all you're doing. So you wonder why he goes straight from the Olympics. He's got a 5-6 week window. And if he didn't work his ass off during that time, that's still not enough time to get the kind of strength that's necessary for you to play the way this is the new normal, okay? We might as well stop being mad about it, getting upset about it. This is the new normal.
Well, I agree.
Because that knee is going to continue to flare up and flare up. Yeah. He's going to give you a spectacular game here, and then he's going to have to take two off. And then he's going to come back, and he's going to give you another spectacular game. Then he's going to have to take two off. You're not going to get a whole lot out of him. You'd be lucky to get 41 games out of him this year.
And you're not going to make the playoffs.
And you're right. We'll say. They're not going to come back from where they are right now.
But we'll say. All right. Brandon Graham after the game. Obviously, it's a tremendous disappointment to see him suffer that injury. It's an injury no one even noticed it when it happened, meaning us, the audience. We're watching on TV. Who sees that injury? It was on a regular chip. Let's listen to BG after the game talk about how it happened.
It was a pass play. The running back came and chipped me right on, like right here on my arm. And I thought it was just like, you know, because I've been dealing with my tricep anyway, just from like, you know, just from pushing people. You know, you get a little tendonitis. But this time it was different. Like, you know, he hit me. And it was stung a little longer, and then when they tried to examine me, I knew someone, right? And he told me, and, you know, I just tried to process it out there, and then end up leaving off, you know, called my wife and, you know, just let her know the news and, you know, kids crying. But it's like, look, at the end of the day, man, it is what it is. No sense of crying about it. Just got to know that I put everything into it. It hurt, but I'm telling you, like, I'm going to be better from it.
All right, that's BG last night.
That made me sad.
What a positive guy.
You know what, man? I've had the pleasure of getting to know BG and being around him a little bit. I don't think I know a more positive person.
I don't either.
I mean, even last year when the Eagles were in the midst of their collapse, you know, he just continued to be positive game week after week after week.
And to play well, yeah, also.
And then to hear this, you know what's unique about him? Is that he has had to learn how to be a positive person. Because, you know, Philadelphia treated him like crap when he first got here.
Sure did.
You know, the media really treated him like crap. And the average person would have went in a tank and wound up being everything that everybody was saying that he wasn't. And this guy took the positivity and went to work and stayed positive through it all. And I think that he's such an integral part of, you know, this football team and its success. I hope he doesn't retire. I hope he comes back and continues to play.
I agree.
Because the Eagles need that kind of positivity.
Yeah,
he needs that kind of production.
He's incredible. He is.
It really is unbelievable.
All right, let's go to Ben. James, is this guy really calling from Australia?
Australia.
Like Australia, like this isn't like a Australia,
yeah,
Pennsylvania.
Like the different continent.
Because we got Bethlehem, PA. I just want to make sure this is
There's
Australia.
Not an Australian, PA.
Stop acting like you ain't been worldwide before, Joe.
I wonder if he became.
I've been Australia.
I wonder if Ben became an Eagles fan when Jordan Mailata started playing
the land
football.
Down under. Ben in Australia. Good morning or good evening, sir.
Well, very early morning for me, on Tuesday.
Wait, so is it? Hold on, and it's the
Tuesday.
Summer.
Yes. The seasons are reversed. They're below the equator.
So it's the summer and it's the early evening.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Early morning.
Early morning. Hello.
Yeah, 1 a.m. on Tuesday. Almost 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
Wow. That's,
we're a late night show there.
Where in Australia are you, Ben?
I live an hour south of Brisbane.
Brisbane.
But I grew up. Yeah.
Brisbane.
But I grew up in Sydney.
Wow. And so were you always an Eagles fan now, Ben?
I've been an Eagles fan since 1987.
Wow.
And what got you into the Eagles?
Jordan Mailata was born.
No. No, I think that predates Jordan Mailata.
Probably.
Princess Diana wore the jacket.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Yeah, my dad's work took us to Kennett Square, just outside Philadelphia.
Nice, man.
So,
all right, so Ben, give us what you got on the Eagles last night. Cool. What'd you call in for?
Well, I'm devastated about BG, but I think that we can now say that Saquon is the MVP of the league, and we are probably the best team in the NFC. Let's just keep it together through the last six games and through the playoffs, and I think we've got a great shot at making a deep run.
I agree with that. Listen, Ben, good call, man. Call us again when you can. Look,
hey, Ben,
I don't
Ben, say hello to everybody in Brisbane and Sydney. I've been there before.
Nice. You know who's going to go back to go play basketball next year? Ben Simmons.
They won't even take him.
They blew them off.
Seth, did you see when he missed the layup the other day?
Yeah.
What in, like, the hell?
The guy can't play basketball anymore.
He is cooked. Seltzer, is he in the league next year? When his contract's
over. Maybe next
over.
Year, but is this the last year?
I believe so.
Maybe 1 year, but
it's incredible.
Not much more than that.
It's incredible that a guy with that degree of like talent in his body.
He was good
to make it work.
He was good for a stretch. That was legit. But he was
pampered and spoiled by his family.
Clearly,
it's all psychological.
Yeah,
the guy can't play. I mean, when you get
because
that
he
close,
couldn't develop toughness.
You're 6'10". Why are you trying to lay the ball up anyway? Why not rock the rim,
dude? It's wild. And the fact that it was the same basket where he had the Trae Young incident back in 2021. Yeah. All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
BG is blowing up. BG still bringing the heat. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, brother.
BG is the man. Go Eagles.
That was pretty good. I like that.
Man, I'm hearing the news about Brandon Graham. I'm sorry to hear that about this injury. We appreciate you. You are the man, Brandon Graham. BG, we love you.
Godspeed, BG.
I just can't really believe that Brandon Graham's going to be out for the year. He's the nicest guy in the world. He really does deserve this.
Time just.
Was that Conklin?
No, it's the guy who always does like the Richie crying.
Okay, yeah, so it's a different guy imitating John. Okay.
Once again, I would just like to thank the New York football Giants for sending us the quad father. Go Birds.
Saquon Barkley, MVP.
Hey, Saquon, it's Daniel Jones. Man, it looks like you're having fun playing in Philly. It looks like a lot of fun to play there. Hey, I would be a better backup than Pickett's. Call me.
Scout team. Daniel Jones.
Maybe.
Scout
They're
team.
They're really good friends, aren't they?
You know
they?
What?
Best friends.
I like that idea. You hear good things about Daniel Jones as like a hardworking guy. A smart, hardworking guy as a backup. That's a good thing, isn't
I don't
it?
Know. He's got no. stink on him, man. We'll no. need that guy.
Wow, that's pretty
He's
harsh.
Fast. He outran our defense for a couple years.
Yeah, and then
there.
Tripped.
And he fell.
Last night's game proved that the Philadelphia Eagles have the biggest, baddest snot knockers and beef feeders in the damn league. We made a statement, don't mess with us. Go Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles.
Well said, sir.
Hey, can you do me a favor? Please don't start talking about Saquon MVP and focus on that. Joel won MVP. Bryce won MVP. It doesn't matter. There's no parade for MVP. Let's focus on the team and the Super Bowl, please.
Now, hold on a second here. I got Mike Schmidt, 80. Got Bobby Clark in the 70s. Got Moses Malone in 83.
Get him, Joe.
Take that, tough guy. And with that, I'm going to shut you down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
After all, he's talking to...
The Hammer!
Take that, tough guy.
I'll take that, yeah.
The Hammer!
Put another way.
You should keep your mouth shut.
All right, here's what you should do. You should listen to Merrill and Mike call the game. Let's listen one more time. A trip through last night because it was a phenomenal victory. And I'm telling you, Merrill took it to another level last night. The montage, how it sounded. Merrill and Mike.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
If the Eagles are going to have the best conference record and number one seed, this game against the Rams is a big game.
Hurts back to Barkley, and Barkley just drags people with him. Back to Barkley again. Barkley takes it to the outside. He's at the 35 and steps out of bounds at the 30. I don't know how he regained his balance. He looked like he was about to hit the ground. He was like at a 90-degree angle. Hurts this time gives off to Barkley, who tries to sweep. Comes across the 30, carries people down with him. Boy, is he tough. Hurts. He's looking. He is firing, and it is caught for a touchdown! A.J. Brown! Stafford backpedals. Here comes the rush. He's hit! They've got him!
BG.
Oh, was he walloped by Brandon Graham! He never saw him coming, Mike.
Unbelievable job. Off the edge by Brandon Graham.
We have reached the end of the first half with the score. The Eagles, 13-7. This time it goes to Barkley up the middle, across the 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 70 yards.
He was shot out of a cannon.
He fires, he completes it, and running is Barkley down to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, to the 15.
He's a hell of a player. He's the best in the league. He's the best at what he does.
It goes to Gainwell. He wiggles to the 5. He's into the touchdown. He's in for the touchdown.
You're not going to lose a lot with Kenny G.
Stafford hands off inside and getting trapped and dropped and thrown back this time is Williams.
Brandon Graham once again, Merrill. He's the first guy there. He's the disruptor. It's BG getting into the Rams' backfield once again.
Back goes Stafford. Here comes the rush. They've got him again! There is Milton Williams.
Yeah, this offensive line cannot block the Eagles' bigs up front.
He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside.
Uh-oh.
He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy?
That is an all-time Eagles record. Breaking the record of Shady McCoy. He is breaking it. He buried it. Oh, my goodness. And the final score, the Eagles, 37, the Rams, 20.
So congrats to Saquon and the now 9-2 Eagles with a thoroughly impressive victory last night. And we thank Joe Wechter for putting that tremendous montage together. Certainly one of the best of the year from the best Eagles game this year. Seth, let me ask you one more question before we get out of here and turn it over to Joe and Hugh. So hypothetically, if you were in the spot that BG is in, but let's say you were of the mindset to retire entering last night. Now, Brandon maybe was going to come back, maybe not. We don't really know. But earlier in the year, the idea was he was going to retire. If you were going to retire, but halfway through the year you suffer an injury, would you be more inclined to want to play another year to not end that way?
Yeah, probably. Because, you know, you get the sense that you don't want to go out on a note like this.
Yeah. Remember LT? That happened to him. He was going to retire in 91.
Yeah.
Suffered an injury, came back for 2 more years.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where he was highly productive. So, you know, maybe he began to look at it a different way because I had some conversations with him earlier in the summer, and I'm like, really? Is this really it? And he was like, yeah, if the Eagles offer me a contract next year, you know, I'd consider it, is what he told me. So we'll see. I just find it hard to believe he's going to walk away now because his numbers went up. As far as how much he played
production
this year compared to last year.
It was tremendous.
Vic Fangio said, hey, you know, we're not on some kind of tour here.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to play.
And he
answered the bell.
You guys understand, you and Brandon Graham, mutants, that you were able to do it as long as you were able to do it. I don't know how on earth your body survived, held up.
Well,
it is. They're like moon rocks or something. Like you can survive everything.
And pride
so
got
dense
pride,
and strong.
Pride got the best of me. I probably should have played another 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Pride got the best of me, and I decided, you know, hey, I'm done. You know, I got a Super Bowl in my back pocket. You know, what else is there left to do? But, you know, I could have had another Super Bowl the following year if pride hadn't gotten away.
That's right.
That's crazy to think about.
All right, everyone, have a tremendous rest of the day. It's a great day. Other than the BG thing, it's a great day.